Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. Today, Colorado Sun business reporter Tamara Chung discusses the rise of Ibotta from its small Denver offices to going public, and what's next for other Colorado startups. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Pinnacle Assurance, Colorado's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Pinnacle provides caring protection that Colorado businesses can rely on as they expand across the country. From finance to robotics and Arizona to Orlando, Pinnacle's nationwide coverage goes wherever Colorado businesses grow. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1859, William Byers launched the Rocky Mountain News in Denver, outpacing his competitor, the Cherry Creek Pioneer, by 20 minutes. Byers, a 28-year-old from Omaha, had arrived 2 days earlier and began producing a weekly 4-page paper in an attic above a general store. The newspaper, the first in Colorado, quickly became a local institution. It promoted regional development and survived challenges including natural disasters and fierce rivalry with the Denver Post. Despite a merger in 2000, the News ceased operations in 2009 due to financial problems, leaving behind a rich legacy preserved in microfilm and digital archives. Before we continue, Next 50's vision is a world that values aging. By 2034, older adults will outnumber children for the first time ever. Next 50 funds innovative programs that combat age bias, advance digital equity, and make it possible to age where you want to live. Explore more at next50foundation.org. Next, our feature story.
Hey, thanks for listening today, everyone. I'm David Krause, an editor here at the Colorado Sun, and it's time to have another Tuesday sit-down session with Sun business reporter Tamara Chung. Tamara, how's your day going?
Oh, really good. I'm glad it's warm.
Yeah, I got through that weekend storm. Hey, yeah. Just before the storm over the weekend, you had a busy week last week. Kind of wanted to circle back on so that big news with Ibotta, a Denver-based company, grew out of the mean streets of Lodo, getting listed on the stock exchange last week. Tamara, not a lot of people know about Ibotta, really, until you started writing about them a couple weeks ago. First, tell us kind of what they do in this coupon sphere that they work in and how they got started down in Lodo.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I would say many millions of people probably know about Ibotta because they have primarily been a consumer mobile app, and that's how they started. Brian Leach is the founder. He started it back in 2012 after seeing someone on an airplane scan in their business receipts for expenses. And he'd already been contemplating a career change. He was like a mining lawyer. And I remember talking to him years ago, and he was mentioning that it was a conference in Rio de Janeiro, and he was super bored. And so that's why he just started thinking about starting up something. But anyway, he noticed this person scanning in their business receipts, and he had already been following a lot of the data that was going on and knew that there was probably some way to help consumers save money and at the time help the retailers connect better to consumers and the brands. So Ibotta started out as this app where it offered cash rebates. So basically you would buy certain products at the store, scan in your receipts or take pictures of them, and then you get like $25 back, you know, at a time. You know, you'd save up and the app would pay you back. So it was very consumer-based, and over the years, you know, it's just grown and has had, I think they've had 50 million registered users. They have lots of big retailers that have partnered with them. And it got to the point where Brian Leach decided, you know, it was time. It was time to have that public offering and offer shares to the public after raising multi-millions of dollars to be valued as a billion-dollar company, one of quite a few in Denver, or Denver in the Colorado area.
Tamara, you mentioned it before. We've talked about it. You've interviewed Brian Leach a few times through the years. Are you kind of surprised that, one, they went public, and two, how well it did that first day and the days leading up to it, the excitement ahead of it?
I would say I'm not surprised, but one of my first questions to him just recently because of this IPO was, you know, why now? I had actually interviewed him probably in like 2016 or 2017 or something like that, when they had just revamped their mobile app, and asked him back then, hey, when are you going public? And back then he said, well, he needs to become IPO worthy, is what he called it. And I think he took that definition from a friend of his who was in the same building they were in Denver. It was the SendGrid CEO at the time, Samir Doukla. But he just said it wasn't the right time back then. But the thing is, anytime companies raise money, so when they're raising it from investors, especially venture capital investors or private equity, they get called like unicorn companies, because the value of the shares, the private shares they have, is, you know, based on how much money they've received so far, they're valued at over $1 billion. The thing with that is those companies need to find a way to pay back investors. So that's called the exit. The exit is always a funny thing, because I've met startups who also ended up, quote unquote, exiting. And I remember one person who told me, you know, when she first started raising money, the first question she was asked was, when's your exit? Or what do you plan for your exit? And I remember her saying, you know, what do you mean exit? I just started the company. But, you know, the point is, when you start taking investors, you've got to figure out a way to pay them back. So one way is an initial public offering, which is what Ibotta did. But another way is to get acquired, which many, many companies have done. So, you know, the other thing about this whole venture capital investment and high tech company trend over the past decade is a lot of these companies have tried, you know, the goal has largely been to have an IPO. But when the markets aren't that great, you know, that's when you look at your other options and see, you know, sometimes there's investors, private equity investors especially, who are more interested in acquiring the company at the valuation, but taking it private so they don't have to deal with a lot of the regulations and, you know, a lot of the things where when a company starts trading their shares publicly, that means they've also got to release a lot of their financial information. So that becomes all public, which is great for a reporter because, you know, I can find out all this information now. Like for example, Ibotta filing to go public, you know, we learned how they've been doing for the past several years. And for, you know, they only reached profitability probably just in the past year or so. They've had a gross profit of 7 quarters of gross profit, but they actually had some net losses a year ago. Well, I think not last year, but the year before or something like that. It's in my story. It's also in their financial information. But, you know, and I should say that the one change about Ibotta is they are no longer just a consumer app. So now they also build their technology into other apps, like Walmart's similar cashback coupon app, Dollar General, I think Kroger, some gas stations are listed as their customers. So the thing about once a company gets beyond the consumer and goes to other businesses, that's when it becomes a lot more profitable for them. And that's why I believe, you know, that's why Brian Leach had decided this is why it's time to go public.
Tamara, what are they going to do with that money?
Well, as I mentioned, they now serve a lot of, they call it enterprise clients. So it would be like Walmart, you know, building the technology to make sure Walmart customers can get the cash back or coupons or discounts or something like that. So that's a different sort of infrastructure or a different sort of base technology that a company like Ibotta needs to invest in. And that's where a lot of the money is probably going to go to. They already have, you know, they have a lot of employees. I think in their, at the end of 2023, they had 815 full-time workers. I had talked to their chief technology officer, and hang on one second. Oh, I talked to their chief technology officer, Luke Swanson, as well, and he's been with the company since nearly the beginning. And he mentioned that he oversees a tech and product development team of nearly 400 people. So that's more than half, you know, nearly half the staff is technology-based folks. And I can only imagine they'll probably use some of the money to hire more people.
You wrote, leading up to it, you kind of, you wrote a really solid story about how all this works and what goes on. Tamara, do you see any other Colorado companies getting in line to go public? You know, the process of that seems like it's kind of daunting, but could we see another company going public anytime soon?
I would say yes, definitely. The number of initial public offerings or IPOs, you know, market-wide has actually gone down in the past several years. And that's for all the reasons I mentioned before. You know, there's a lot more regulations now, Sarbanes-Oxley, which, you know, happened during Enron. You know, stuff like that makes it more challenging for any company to want to go public. But the point is, Denver, especially Denver and Boulder area, have a lot of billion-dollar unicorns. So these companies valued at more than $1 billion. So they got to figure out how to pay back their investors. Some of these are like Guild, which is the education technology company I'd written about earlier. They recently got a new CEO, but they are valued at more than $2 billion, I believe. Sondermind is another company. Quantinium, which is a quantum technology, quantum computing company. They're also valued pretty high. I talked to PitchBook, which is a research firm that tracks investments. So they track venture capital, private equity, and IPOs. And they put together some sort of tool to sort of predict how will companies exit. And this tool uses, you know, lots of data. So they have AI parsing through all the, you know, financials, the growth numbers, losses, you know, and plus not only of these companies, but like past companies, like how have those companies done? Companies that raised a lot of money, what happened to them? So they take all this information and have this tool now. So there are 20 companies in Colorado that are on this list to likely have an IPO. And there's the range of likelihood or probability is anywhere from 45% to 96%. So there's companies like Myco Technology, which actually I should double check, but I believe that's that mushroom technology, that company they are looks like they're based in Aurora. But anyway, they, you know, companies like that have this one has a 95% chance or 91% chance of an IPO. So, or will it get acquired? The chances are 4%. So most likely that's going to be a company that has an IPO. But anyway, check out the chart in the story. It's the story that came out about Colorado startups getting excited about Ibotta going public. And, you know, a big reason for that is there's still a lot of startups here in Denver and Boulder. And when kind of one of their own makes it all the way to this huge exit, everyone gets excited. And I know this story got passed around a lot.
Yeah, I saw it quite a bit on my LinkedIn feed. So Tamara, always appreciate the time to kind of explain these to us all on a different level, kind of a little more easy to understand sometimes. If you want to read this story, certainly go check it out at coloradosun.com. And you can go to coloradosun.com/working to sign up for Tamara's weekly free What's Working newsletter. It comes out every Saturday. A lot of times previews these kind of stories and also breaks them down. Tamara, make it a great week.
You too. Thanks, everyone.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Crime in Colorado fell in nearly all categories in 2023, but still was higher than pre-pandemic levels. Colorado Bureau of Investigation data shows that violent crime decreased more than 6% from 2022 to 2023. Sex offenses dropped 12%, robberies declined 14%, and aggravated assaults decreased by 3%. Murders came down 16.4%, but were still 37% higher than 2019. FBI data shows the trend mirrored a national 6% decline in the violent crime rate during the same period. All violent crime categories were still higher than 2019, the year before the pandemic. Grand County leaders say three deadly tragedies in the community are putting renewed strain on a mental health system that is already seriously overloaded. The tragedies began in April when an 11-year-old boy was killed when the truck he was riding in slid into Clear Creek. 3 days later, a prominent businessman died by suicide, and that same day, a 21-year-old snowboarder was killed while snowboarding on Berthoud Pass. Community leaders are responding with memorial services and offering counseling to those affected. A fundraiser was held for the Grand Foundation, which provides mental health advocacy and services. A Boulder mobile home park that became a statewide success story after residents banded together to buy it from their landlord 3 years ago is facing a serious financial hurdle. The Sans Souci Mobile Home Park needs a new wastewater system that could cost up to $5 million, well above the park's $3.3 million purchase price. The expense is big enough that it could bump rents to unaffordable levels for some residents. The co-op says it's working to solve the issue while dealing with other management challenges, including squabbles over park rules and enforcement. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
This is Christina Pritchett, Marketing and Events Specialist at the Colorado Sun. In my role, I get to witness the Sun's impact on our state firsthand. I always leave our events feeling inspired by those who attend and share the impact that the Sun has in their daily lives. If you're a follower of the Sun, please reach out and tell us what you think of our reporting and let us know how it makes a difference in your life. The Sun is member supported, so if you're not yet a member, please consider joining us today at coloradosun.com/join.